He's the son of Curtis Ponder and his wife at Maple Springs Baptist Church. Appreciate this young man, young preacher. I want you to come around and preach to us this morning, Luke. Appreciate you, brother. We love you. Amen. They'll run that light for you. Amen.
1 Kings chapter number 19. 1 Kings chapter number 19. Good preaching by the dear brother. Thank God to be back at camp meeting. It's a joy to be here. Thank y'all for letting us come. It's an honor to be here. I've not been here my whole life, but the past few years we've been able to come. And every time we got under the tabernacle, I thank God that he spoke to us and gave us some help. But turn with me. I'm sure you already found your place. But 1 Kings chapter number 19, I'm going to mind the Lord, and I hope y'all can do the same. But I want y'all to stand with us. I know you've been sitting for just a few minutes, so let's stand, stretch your legs. 1 Kings chapter number 19, and we'll read a few verses. I'm sure what we're going to be preaching out of is nothing new, but this is what God put on our heart, and I'm going to preach what he wants us to preach, and we're going to get out of the way. 1 Kings chapter number 19, if you're glad you're saved, say amen. Amen. Thank God that I'm glad I'm saved. 1 Kings 19, verse number 1, it says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah has done, and without all he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, Let the gods do me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by time tomorrow at this time." And then he arose and went for his life and became to Bathsheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Verse number 4 is where we get our text out of. It says, "But himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. He requested for himself that he might die. And he said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father." Let's pray really quick. God, our Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, God, for the opportunity, Father God, to stand, Father God, where we are. God, I pray, God, you'll use us, God, for your glory, God, and for your honor. God, calm our nerves. God, calm us down for just a few minutes. God, you allowed us to come. God, touch each person. God, open up their hearts so they can be attentive, God, to your word. God, we'll thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do in the service. God, it's in your name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. But 1 Kings chapter number 19, we all know of what's taking place in this scripture. But I want to go ahead and get this out of the way. And I want to preach on this simple subject on there's no need to doubt him now. There's no need to doubt him now. You may say, "Preacher, what in the world do you mean by that?" I want you to look in verse number 4. It says, "And he went himself a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree." I want you to notice, firstly, by the way of introduction, you'll find that in this scripture, you'll find that Elijah, he was defeated. You may say, "Preacher, what do you mean by he defeated?" It says in verse number 4, and it says, "And he came and sat down under a juniper tree." If you do your studies in chapter number 18, we all know what takes place. And then in verse number 1 through verse number 3, that Jezebel and Ahab was coming and take his life, and they was going to kill him for what all he's done. He comes under that juniper tree and sits down, and he begins to remember and begins to think about what his past and what was happening in his life, and he began to get defeated. I'm sure if we'd all be honest, we're just like Elijah. Every once in a while, we're going through storms and we're going through problems, and we just sit down and say, "God, we're done." But can I give you some hope this morning? I thank God that we serve a God just back then, like he talks about in Elijah's life, that God was with him through the good times and he was through with him through the bad times. Can I say something to you? The same God that you serve and the same God that you worship in the good days, he's the same God that we serve through the storms. Just because your life is a mess don't mean God's changed. God's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. My God changes not. You know who changes? And that's our flesh. I thank God in the middle of his problem, in the middle of his stress, God still spoke to him. You'll find that he was defeated. Then look with him, verse number 4 as well. He sat down under a juniper tree and he requested for himself that he may die. You'll find that he was defeated. Then you'll find that he was discouraged. He was discouraged. I hope that some of y'all ain't got to that point in life where you asked God just to take your life, because it ain't worth it. You were still serving God. But can I say also, you'll find that he was disrupted. Look with me in verse number 5. I'm getting somewhere. And it says, and he laid and sleep under a juniper tree. Behold, there an angel touched him and said unto him, rise and eat. He was disrupted. You may say, preacher, what in the world do you mean by that? He got under that juniper tree just to sit there and let God take his life, but God had another plan. God had another plan. You may say, preacher, what in the world do you mean by that? He laid there and said, God, take my life. There's no point in me being alive anymore. But he sent down an angel. I'm sure in our lives we've all been there where we just wanted to give up. We wanted to just quit on God. But God sent down an angel. He sent down to where we were. I thank God. We serve a God that comes to where we are in the middle of our distress, in the middle of our disappointment. The same God comes to us. I thank God for that. Then I want you to notice in verse number 6. In verse number 6, you'll find that he was delighted. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a crucible at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. He was delighted. You may say, how do you get that? It says, and he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. He gave Elijah just what he needed. He didn't give him a big old spread. He didn't give him a big old meal. He didn't give him a homecoming meal. But he gave him just a little bit of cake and a little bit of water. Amen. You may say, what do you get from that? That's just how God is. You look at his life. Look at what he does for us. Here and there, he gives us some grace. He gives us some mercy. His mercies are new every morning. His grace is sufficient. I'm glad the same God I serve, when he gives me grace, can give grace to you in the same problem that you're going through. Now let's get into the message real quick. I got to get somewhere. I got a long way to go and a short time to get there. So y'all bear with me. I want you to go back to chapter number 17. Chapter number 17. I'm going to get this off my heart. I'm going to sit down. I want you to go back to chapter number 17. I want you to look at. There's no need to doubt him now. There's no need to doubt him now. You may say, preacher, how are you going to preach that thought? I'd be glad to give it to you. Go back to chapter number 17. Chapter number 17, I want you to notice this. Point number 1, I want you to look at yesterday and see God's promise. You may say, well, what do you mean by that? There's no need to doubt him now, because you can look back in your life and see how God's blessed you before. Hope there'd been more amens right there, but it's okay. We can look back. I'm going to say it again. We can look back in our life, and as many times as we've failed and we've went through problems and faced things in the storm, God was still there. God's promise is still real today. God's promises are still true. You can go back to chapter number 17. I want you to look at this. I'm not going to go there for time's sake, but look at chapter number 17, verses 1 through 7. You can see that you can look back in Elijah's life, and it was through the brook. It was through the brook. You might say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Go back to chapter number 17. It says in verse number 2, it says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, I thank God for them moments when the Lord speaks to me. That ain't the little L. That ain't the little L Lord. That's the big L Lord. That's the one we serve. I'm glad he speaks to us. Let me say this. I'm glad I can speak to him. I'm glad I ain't got to get in a booth and speak to some other man. I'm glad I can get on my knees and pray to our Heavenly Father. Look at verse number 3. It says, get thee hence and turn towards eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I, that's talking about the Lord still, I have commanded thee the ravens to feed thee there. And he went and did accordingly unto the word of the Lord. And it says in verse number 6, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Verse number 7, it says, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had no rain in the land. You may say, preacher, what do you mean by that? You can look back in life. When you feel like there's no hope, there's no promise, there's nothing that you can do on your own, but God's going to bring you food. God's going to bring you some water. He's going to put us by the brook. I thank God for that. We can get to the brook, and that's where our help cometh from. Then also you'll find it was through the brook. Then in verses number 8 through verse number 16, you'll find that it was through the barrel. We all know the scripture, and it says in verse number 12, I'm not going to read it for time's sake. It says, I'm going to make this oil. I'm going to make this cake for me and my son. Then we're just going to die. He goes, we have no more left. We have nothing left. There's no way that it's going to be able to do it no more. We're going to eat this bread. We're going to die. But then in verse number 13, it says, and Elijah said unto her, fear not. and go do as thou hadst said, and make me therefore a cake first, and bring it unto me, and after for thou and thy son. He's saying, make my cake first. Make my cake first. I'm sure as flesh as she was, she knew there's no way that this is going to work. There's no way that God's going to make this happen. There's no way Elijah's going to do exactly what he's saying. Can I say this? That's just as flesh as we are. We've always gone through life, and God's put us in situations, and God has put us through storms. And we ask God, God, there's no way that you're going to get us out of this. But can I say something to you? Just like it did in the scripture, it can happen to you. When you feel like that you're about to die, and you feel like that there's no hope for you, we still serve a God that's going to bring you out of that. It was through the brook. Then lastly, in this text, I want you to notice in verses number 17 through verse number 24, you'll find that it was through the brook, it was through the barrel, but then it was through the boy. And you may, what do you mean by that? In the latter part of the chapter, you'll find that this is when that woman's son died. And it says in verse number 21, and he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord, saying, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul cometh to him again. And the Lord heard his voice in Elijah of Elijah, and the soul of the child came and again, and he was revived. Can I say something to you? Do you hear his voice? Just in verse number 24, it says, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. Can I say something to you? Does God still hear your voice? Have you got to a place in your life where you're asking God to do something big in your life, and you're asking God to show the will of God in my life? The Lord, do what you can only do. But are you still praying? Are you still praying unto him? Does he still hear your voice? Have you just given up? But can I say something to you? Just keep praying. Just keep going. Just keep believing. And he's going to do it for you just like he did for Elijah. I want you to go back to chapter number 18. Chapter number 19. I still ain't got a yellow light, so we're going to keep on moving on. Then I want you to look in verse number 19. It says, look at yesterday and see God's presence, promise. Then and look at verse number 19, chapter number 19. I want you to look at today and see God's presence. Look at today and see God's presence. In verses number 3 through verse number 4, I'm not going to read it because I just read it for time's sake. You'll find that it was a searching place. You might say, what do you mean by that? It says in verse number 3, and he says, and he saw that he arose and went for his life. He didn't go for nobody else's life. He didn't go for anybody in his family's life, but he went for his own life. I know this ain't biblical, but this is what God gave to me. In verse number 3, this is what God told me to say, so I'm going to say it. He went to find the will of God. He went to find the will of God. He left his servant. He left the messenger where he was, and he arose and went for his life. He was going to see what God had for him in his life. But in verse number 4, and I'm not going to read it, you'll find that it was a searching presence. It says, is it enough? Oh, Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's. Can I say, where you're sitting right now, maybe you're going through a situation in your life where you feel like that there's no hope, that people can't do it for you. But can I say something to you? Sitting where you are, sitting exactly in the place that you are, God put you here for a reason. It ain't by happenstance. You did not just wake up and say, boom, I'm going to camp meeting. You had it in your mind already. That's the same way God is. He puts us in places that we need to be. That's exactly what happens to Elijah. He put him there, and I think he began to think about his past and remember how God's been good to him. Can I say something to you? How good God been to you? He's been too good to me. He's been too good for me. It was a searching place. In verses number 9 through 11, it was a speaking place. I'm going to run through this real quick, and then I'll get to my last point. We're done. Then you'll find it was a soothing presence. In verses number 12 through verses number 13, you'll find that soothing is another word for relaxing, and he was calm, and he was resting. But look, this is where I want to get to, because this is where God wanted me to direct my heart to. Then I want you to notice lastly. Lastly, you'll notice that look at yesterday and see God's promise. Look at today and see God's presence. But look at tomorrow and see God's provision. Amen. You may say, what do you mean by that? I'd be glad to tell you. I want you to look at verse number 14. Verses number 11 through verse number 13, he sends a strong wind, and he sends an earthquake, and he sends fire. But you know what got his attention? He just turned that light, so I got to move. It was a small voice. It was a small voice. God's going to send things for us that's going to get our attention, but it was the voice of God that got his attention. Look in verse number 14. It says, and he said, I have been very jealous of the Lord God of hosts because of the children of Israel, forsaken the covenant, threw down the thine altars, and slain the spirit, the prophets with the sword. Even I only am left, and I seek my life to take it away. I need to mind the Lord. I need every preacher to stand up real quick. Every preacher to stand up real fast. This is what God told me to do, and I'm going to do it. Thank God for preachers. Thank God for y'all. It says in verse number 14, I've got to get my Bible so I know I'm done. Verse number 14, and it says that I'm very jealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken, thrown, and slain the prophets. I'm just here by myself. He said, I'm here by myself. I have nobody with me. I have nobody standing in the gap with me. But then in verse number 18, it says, for yet I have left 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth hath not kissed them. I'm going to stop and I'm going to preach right here. I'm going to be done. Look around. Look around and every preacher here. Can I say something to you? You are not alone. Yes, everybody else, all the other preachers, they may let you down. They may not been there no more. But look at the preachers we have here. Yes, we don't know each other. Yes, we don't know, but we serve the same God. The same God that I serve is going to be there with you. Can I say something to you? We're in this thing together. I'm the youngest. I'm probably looking around. I'm just 22 years old. I ain't been preaching long, but can I say something to you? I need every one of you. I need every one of you. I've been preaching for 5 years, but I need every one of you. I'm just going to be honest with you. There's some in here that I look up to. I'm not going to name names because some of y'all may be getting jealous, but some of y'all look up to. But if you let down, if you throw in the towel, not only are you going to affect your family, but you're going to affect somebody like me. Rod, I know up there, you're in Indiana, wherever, up north, bless your heart. But the same God that you serve up there is the same God we serve in Rhonda. Brother Joe, the same God you serve in Jonesboro, Georgia, is the same God we serve up here. The same God, Brother Dan, you serve out west is the same God here. Can I say something to you? We're in this thing together. We're in this thing together. That's on my heart, preacher. Thank you. You may be seated.